Jude chapter 1, going to begin reading at verse number 1, read to verse 3. The Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. For the next little bit, I want to preach to you from this subject, the call to contend. The call to contend. Why don't you say that with me? The call to contend. Would you set your Bibles down and one more time all across the house? Would you lift up your voice? Come on, would you talk to the Lord for just a second? Would you invite His presence in this house? Would you ask Him to speak to us in a mighty way tonight? God, we need Your presence. We need Your Spirit to flow freely in this house. God, touch every heart today. Anoint me as Your messenger to deliver Your word with clarity and with a boldness in Your Spirit, God. I pray You anoint every heart of the hearer that it would be good ground for Your word to be sown on. We'll give You praise and glory for everything that You do tonight. In Jesus' name, why don't we all clap our hands now all across the house and give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. In the early 1800s, British slave owners created a Bible known today as the Slave Bible. On display at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., this Bible is quite different than one used in churches across the world today. The biggest difference between the two is what is missing. The typical King James Bible contains 66 books, but in this one, the Old Testament alone contains only parts of about 14 books, which is only about 10% of it. To put it another way, there are 1,189 chapters in a standard Bible, and this Bible contains only 232. Most of the Old Testament is missing, and only about half of the New Testament remains. The reason for this was so that the slaves in the Caribbean islands of Jamaica, Barbados, and Antigua couldn't read or be read anything that might teach them about true freedom, lest they'd be incited to rebel against their captivity. This Bible was being used to push a specific message to the enslaved people, and that message was contentment in your life of captivity. Passages excluded from this Bible includes the whole book of Revelation, so that there was no new heaven and no new earth. Also excluded was the story of Moses leading the children of Israel out of the clutch of Pharaoh's hand in Egypt and to the promised land. But included in this Bible were stories like Joseph's enslavement in Egypt, and it was twisted to make it seem like his enslavement was a good thing. Scriptures like Galatians 3 and 28 that says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus, were left out. But scriptures that encouraged obedience and contentment in their current state were left in. Today, I believe that if the devil were to write a book, it would look and sound a lot like the Slave Bible, one where truth has been twisted and cut out into confusion and lies, one where sin looks pleasurable for longer than a season, one where right is called wrong and wrong is called right, because Satan has only one objective, and that is to keep us captive in the sin that leads to our destruction. And he does it the best way he knows how, to resist, distort, and tear down the one thing that saves us. The word of God tells us in John 8:32 that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
I feel like reminding someone in the house today that there is a truth that once known and realized is Expay has the power to break every chain in your life. I don't care what sin you came with. I don't care what bondage you're in. I don't care what addiction you're struggling with. There is a truth that can make you free. You ought to testify with your praise right now. If you know about the liberating power of truth, come on, if truth ever broke the chains in your life, you ought to testify with your praise right now. Come on, if truth has ever delivered one of your family members, if truth has ever broke the chains, if it's ever broken the addiction, you ought to be clapping your hands right now. However, if truth is going to liberate you, you must first know and experience it for yourself. Satan knows this, and so he uses every strategy he can to resist and distort the truth in the life of every individual. We see this from the very beginning of time, as in Genesis chapter 3, the subtle serpent makes his way to Eve in the garden and begins distorting her knowledge of truth. Genesis 3 and 1, the Bible says, he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said that ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? The serpent's question to Eve was used to make her feel like the truth of God's word had robbed her of something greater in life. But the Lord's viewpoint was a positive one. He was telling Adam and Eve, you can have every tree in the garden but one. But Satan's viewpoint was negative. He focused in on the fact that they couldn't eat of every single tree in the garden. He was trying to make Eve feel deprived rather than blessed. He wanted Eve thinking about the little that she couldn't have instead of all that she did have. Hear me today, child of God. It is Satan's desire to twist and distort the truth to the point that you think truth has caused you to miss out on something in your life. But listen to this preacher. The only thing that truth has caused you to miss out on is the hurt and the pain and the regret and the condemnation that comes with the deceit of the devil. I want you to hear me loud and clear. There is a blessing in the boundary of truth. Don't ever forget about the peace. Don't ever forget about the joy. Don't ever forget about the happiness and the love. The only place you can find it is right here in this good book. The only place you can find it is living in truth. The serpent, having already made Eve feel like truth was hindering her, now begins to completely contradict the truth of God's word. The Bible said, he said in Genesis 3, 4 through 5, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan twisted her knowledge of truth, and she was fooled into captivity and sin. And throughout the thousands of years since that first encounter in the garden, Satan has not changed his plan to steal, kill, and destroy by resisting the truth of God. That is why when Jude picked up the pen and began writing the last epistle in your Bible, he changed his letter from its original intent of the common salvation, because news of what verse 4 would say was men that crept in unaware came to him. And this news prompted Jude to sound the alarm to every believer. As he wrote in Jude 1 and 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. When Jude heard about the attacks on truth, or as one translation puts it, the perversion of truth, he sent out a clarion call to every saint of God to earnestly contend for the faith. Because Jude understood if we sit by and do nothing while Satan is sowing doubt about the truth of God, the lives of those people will be destroyed and broken. So we must stand up and we must contend for the faith. And tonight, under the burden of the Spirit, I am echoing the words of Jude and sending out a call to this generation to contend for the faith, to contend for Acts 2:38, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Spirit with the initial sign of speaking in other tongues. I am sending out a call to contend for the oneness of God. I am sending out a call to contend for holiness, that which without no man shall see the Lord. Because Satan, he wants nothing more than to destroy those truths so that he can destroy you and I. But I believe tonight that there are some young people who have made up their mind already. I will stand and I will contend. I will stand and I will fight. Oh, come on, if you've got a made-up mind that you're going to stand in this wicked and perverse generation, if you're going to stand and be true and let God arise. You know why truth is worth contending for? Because it's the only truth. It's the only hope for the world. Jude said, it's the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Jude was affirming that the truth that saves and sets free has already been given once and for all. There's no continuing revelation. There's no evolution of truth. There may be many religions. There may be many superstitions. There may be many ideas. But as Ephesians 4 and 5 says, there is only one Lord. There is only one faith. And there is only one baptism. You need to push back against the doubt and the insecurity of what you believe. We are a part of the one faith. We are a part of the only truth. Right now, you ought to just praise God that you're a part of this one God, Jesus' name. Come on, you ought to make hell mad and you ought to just shout. You ought to just shout for a little bit and let hell know I'm confident in what I believe. Come on, come on, come on. Let hell know we're not backing up. We're not moving. We've got the only faith. The Apostle Paul, he said in Galatians 1 and 8 that if he or any other apostle or even an angel were to preach a different gospel, to let them be accursed. You know what my mission is right now? It's to combat the spirit of doubt that wars against young believers' minds. You've got to get sick and tired of the devil sitting on your shoulder trying to convince you that this isn't real. And you've got to look the devil in the face and say, devil, you're a liar. There is no other truth. There is no other fact. You need to settle it in your heart tonight. I've made up my mind. I've decided it. And I'm going to stand and contend for the faith. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians 6 and 12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In Matthew 26, when Jesus was betrayed and being taken away, Peter took out his sword and he cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And Jesus told Peter, put the sword away. Because if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. What Jesus was telling Peter is what Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can I tell you, in this spiritual fight for the faith, we are not weaponless. We can stand up flat-footed without moving and contend. We have weapons to contend against the darkness, doubt, and lies of the enemy. Jude reminds us in verse 17 through 20 of the words of the apostles of Jesus, that in the last days, cynics and mockers will come, people who are void of the spirit and worldly, people who are anti-God and anti-truth. And Jude tells us the way to contend against them is by doing what they will not do. He said, by building up yourselves in the faith, by praying in the Spirit. What Jude meant by building up yourselves is development, which means he was saying that you develop yourself in the truth by praying in the Spirit, because it is the truth that leads and guides us into all truth. That I'm telling you what, now more than ever before, we need young people that will stand up and pray in the Spirit. We need young people that won't be ashamed to stand up and speak in tongues, to stand up and pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, because it's the Spirit that will strengthen you in truth and give you the power to push back against the darkness, give you the power to push back. It's praying in the Spirit that will give you the power to push back against a worldly society that says truth isn't relevant anymore. The words of Jesus to Peter in Matthew 16 would prove this. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 17, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus was saying that your revelation of me has not come through physical means, but through the Spirit. Can I tell a young person tonight, if you want a greater revelation of truth, pray in the Spirit. If you want a greater revelation of Jesus' name, pray in the Spirit. If you want a greater revelation of baptism, pray in the Spirit, because it don't come in classrooms. It don't come in books. It comes in the Spirit. You can't learn how to fight back in a book. You've got to get on the carpet. You've got to put your face in it. And you've got to cry. And you've got to talk in tongues. And you've got to let God speak. Come on, let's just pray right here for a second. Come on. Come on, young person. I need some prayer warriors right now. Come on, I need some prayer warriors that will contend for the faith. I need some prayer warriors that are not ashamed to talk in tongues, that are not ashamed to cry aloud. Come on, come on, come on. This makes hell nervous. This makes hell scared because this is how you learn to fight. This is how you learn to grow in truth. Yeah, come on, come on, come on. Come on, you ought to just stir it up a little bit. You ought to just stir it up a little bit. Tabokosi, come on. Come on, young person, that's it. Come on, this is how you grow. This is how you grow. This is how you get the strength to fight. Come on, this is how you get the power. Come on, it feels good right now. Let's just do that one more time. Come on, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost one more time. Come on, we have the devil nervous right now. There's some young people right now that are talking in tongues that haven't talked in tongues in a while. And their faith, the truth inside of them is growing up a little bit right now. Come on, they're building themselves in the faith right now. Come on, this is how you do it, young person. Come on, this is how you grow in truth. You pray in the Spirit. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, that's it. That's it. Come on, you feel better already. Come on, you feel a little more victory already because you prayed in the Spirit and you grew just a little more. And you be seated. Another weapon that we have to contend for the faith is the Word of God. Ephesians 6 and 17 tells us the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word of God, like a sword though, is useless unless it's unsheathed. But like Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, you must study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because a sword is also of no use to someone who hasn't trained for it. You know what I feel to challenge young people in this house to do right now? It's when you go back to your home, go over to your bookcase that has your Bible on it and pull it off the bookcase, wipe the dust off of it, and get to work training. Go back home, get your Bible, wipe the dust off of it and say, I'll never be caught unarmed again. But from this moment on, I will study to show myself approved. From this moment on, I'll never be caught without my weapon. Come on, it'll give you the strength to fight back the lies and the twisted truths that this world will try to feed you. But you've got to get in the Word. You've got to get your sword and you've got to stand and fight. Another reason that the Word of God is such a powerful weapon is because it has no expiration date. Peter praised the timeless quality of the Word of God when he declared in 1 Peter 1:25 that the Word of the Lord endureth forever, meaning that time has no influence on God's Word. The changing philosophies have no influence on God's Word. Worldviews and cultural norms have no effect on it either. It is utterly unchanging and never passing away. Jesus said it like this in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Jesus placed his word over our fleeting feelings and the fading fads of this world in the story of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible tells us that this woman with the issue of blood was sick, and she had went to every physician that she could. She'd spent all that she had, and the Bible says that she didn't get better, but she only grew worse. Then Jesus came along, and there was a press with him. And this woman began thinking to herself, if I could just somehow make my way through this crowd and just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And the Bible says that she did that. She made her way through all those people. She pressed her way through, and she touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible tells us that she felt the blood dried up within her. She felt her miracle take place in that moment. But Jesus did something peculiar here. He stopped everything. And he asked where she was. Who touched me? And he called her to him. And he gave her a word. He said, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. And I could not for the life of me figure out why Jesus did not just let her go home after she had felt the blood dry up in her and after she had felt her miracle take place. Why would Jesus not just let her sneak off behind the crowd and go home to live in peace? But it's then that I realized that Jesus understood that if this woman was going to be able to combat the lies that the devil was going to feed her about her miracle, she needed more than a feeling. She needed more than something physical to hang on to. She needed a why. She needed something that was unchanging. She needed something that was steadfast and unmovable. In these last days, if we are going to contend for the faith against the adversary of our soul, we must have the Word of God. Because if you're relying on your feelings and your emotions to keep you in the fight, they'll be gone and betray you the very moment he whispers a lie in your ear. You've got to have something that's unchanging. You've got to have something that's steadfast, even when you're feelings aren't. When your feelings are all over the place, you've got to have an anchor that's unmovable, that's unshakable. That's why that you see that person and their life is falling apart, but they're still faithful to God. They're still in love with God, still praying, still contending for the faith. It's not because life's going great. It's because there is a word in their life that when everything's moving, everything's falling apart, it's got them anchored. It's got them steadfast. Your prayer tonight needs to be, God, give me a love for the word. Put it in my heart, God. God, give this generation a love for the word of God. Give them a love for the thing that's unshakable, unmovable. Young person, the time is now. It's your turn to stand and contend for the faith. We have no excuses. We have everything readily available at our fingertips. We're well equipped. We're well able. The time is now. We must stand up and we must contend for the faith. The Apostle Paul wrote in the sunset of his life, the very end of his letter to his son in the gospel, Timothy. And he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, that I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Paul was declaring the faithfulness of his service to God. He was saying, I have fought when the enemy came against me. I walked the path that God placed before me. And most importantly, at the end of it all, I have kept the faith. Paul was expressing that he had accomplished the task to contend and fight for the continuance of the faith to the next generation. And Paul, he would write to his son in the gospel, Timothy, the one coming after him, the generation behind him. And he would charge him, saying in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Paul was passing the baton and the burden to Timothy to fight for the faith for the next generation. Can I tell you tonight, that same call is going out to you. It is time for this generation to rise up and fight for the faith. As Brother Shoemaker would always say, it's the young men for war and the old men for counsel. We're not looking for people to sit idly by on the pew as the Timothy, or as the Paul generation fades off of the scene. But we are looking for Timothys in this day and age that will stand up in a world that's opposing truth and opposing God, that will stand up in a godless society and say, I will contend for the faith. I will stand for the truth. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they do to me. My mind is made up. I will never quit. I will never back down. I'll never stop fighting. My grandfather is here tonight, call him Papa. And it wasn't just but maybe a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months, where I called him. He calls me a lot on accident and leaves me voicemails with nothing on it. And so he called me on accident. I called him back. When I was on the phone with him, something just came over me and I told him, Papa, thank you for standing for the truth. Thank you for contending for the faith. when others were letting down the standard. And I told him, I said, Papa, as long as I'm alive, rest assured that I'm going to continue the faith on. Rest assured that I'm going to stand flat-footed. Rest assured that I'm going to preach. I need a younger man and a younger lady right now with your shout to let the Paul generation know, rest assured, we're going to contend. Rest assured. You hear that, devil? Do you hear that, devil? There is a generation that still loves the truth. There is a generation that will still fight and contend. Let's pray right now. Come on, all across the house. Come on, let's pray right now. I feel God touching lukewarm hearts right now. I feel God stirring up some young men and some young women that maybe have had a little doubt. Maybe they were a little unsure. Come on, come on, come on. Let's pray right now. Come on. Let that faith and that truth get a hold of you. Make up your mind. I'll never stop fighting. I'll never stop contending. Come on, come on. I need a young person that's still in love with this truth, that's still in love with this faith, to lift up your voice and pray in the spirit. Come on, let hell know we won't stop contending. We won't stop fighting. Come on, I'm okay with this right here. Come on, I'm okay with this. Let the Spirit move right now. Come on, let it stir hearts right now. I want to do it again. The devil's been lying to me all week, telling me those young people don't love truth anymore. Those young people don't respond to preaching like this more. I want you to make the devil a liar right now. Come on, I want you to pray in his face right now. I want you to let him know there's still some young people that will stand up and that will fight, that will stand up and that will contend. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Young people still love the truth. The young people still love the faith. They're going to keep contending. They're going to keep fighting. And be seated. Young person, I want you to hear me. If we don't fight, we will fail. The Bible shows us in Judges chapter 1 What happens when the people of God refuse to fight for what God says fight for? The Lord had commanded the children of Israel to possess the land of Canaan. And he told them in Deuteronomy 7:2, what to do with the inhabitants of the land. He said, smite them, utterly destroy them, make no covenant with them, and show them no mercy. The mission from God was simple. Fight and destroy the adversary that was inhabiting their land. But as you begin reading Judges chapter 1, when the children of Israel begin to possess the land, the Bible says in Judges 1:21 that the children of Benjamin did not drive out the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And in verse 28, it says when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Something happened to the children of Israel that caused them to not fight against the inhabitants of the land and drive them out. I don't know what it was. This is all speculation. But maybe they thought that the inhabitants of the land dwelling with them was no big deal. Maybe they looked at it and they thought that it was innocent. I'm sure that's what Ephraim and Zebulun thought, because verse 29 and 30 says that both did not fight and drive them out, but they allowed the Canaanites to dwell among them. I'm sure they looked at the adversary, the Canaanites dwelling in the land, and thought, it's innocent. Why do we need to cause such a big deal about this? Why do we need to fight against them? We can just let them dwell among us. We're strong. We'll be okay. If we ever have to, we'll line them out. But you see, that's the trick of the enemy, to cause the people of God to let down the standard of truth. The enemy will tell you it's no big deal. You don't always have to contend against stuff. It's innocent. You don't have to worry about it, preachers. You don't have to preach against it. It's just innocence. But all you have to do is read the next three verses of Scripture. Verse 31 through 33, the Asherites did not fight and drive out the inhabitants of the land. Neither did Naphtali. And this is what verse 32 through 33 says. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants, but he dwelt among the Canaanites. I don't know if you caught it, but just one verse, and it went from the Canaanites dwelling among the children of Israel to the children of Israel dwelling among the Canaanites. Can I tell you, if you don't fight against the lie that it's innocence, it won't be long until you're dwelling with those godless people, until you're dwelling with those people that don't believe truth, and you're so entrenched in their ways and their beliefs that you don't know up from down. You better make up your mind tonight, young person. I don't care what the world calls innocence. I'm going to stand and fight. I don't care if it doesn't seem like a big deal. I'm going to stand and fight. Hey, you entertain that stuff long enough, and they'll have you like Daniel in Babylon, trying to change your identity. You've got to stand up, and you've got to contend. You've got to stand up. You've got to fight. Because this one generation didn't contend for the faith. The Bible says in Judges 2:10 that there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. All because one generation didn't fight, the faith of another was lost. Young person, it's time to wake up. Young person, it's time to wake up and get out of your slumber. We cannot make peace with the enemy in these last days. We must stand up and have a holy rebellion against everything that would exalt itself against God. We must stand up and contend for the faith. We must stand up and fight. Come on, come on, come on. I'm looking for some warriors right now that will stand flat-footed and say, hell, I'm not backing up. Hell, I'm not turning away, but I'll fight. Come on, all across the house, praise him right now. Come on, all across the house. Come on, I need some young people with a made up mind. I won't quit. I won't stop fighting. I won't give in. Remain standing, musicians, come. I don't know about you, young person, but to me, the faith is worth the fight. I said, the faith is worth the fight. The faith is worth the fight to me. Because I got my sister over here, Erica. Wave your hand at us. Right over here. That's my biggest fan right there. And you're worshiping, helping me preach tonight. But you see, it wasn't always like that. There was a day when the enemy had her locked up and chained up in drugs and alcohol. There was a day when the enemy had her bound with a sinful lifestyle in the world. And she could try anything and everything she could to get free from it, and nothing would work. She could try more drugs and it wouldn't work. She could try therapy and it wouldn't work. She could try the psychology and it wouldn't work. But then she tried truth, and she's sitting here free from every addiction. She's sitting here free from every chain that's had her bound. Hey, the faith is worth the fight, because when nothing else works, truth works. When nothing else will break the chains, truth will break the chains. Young person, the call to contend for something that matters is coming to you today. You see, when I was praying, I really felt the Holy Ghost tell me this, is that contending is not the problem. It's contending for the right thing that's the problem. And I want to be careful, but I feel bad for young people whose parents are getting divorced. I feel bad for young people who have family members suffering from depression. I feel bad for young people who have family members struggling with addiction. And all they care about is arguing about the latest and the greatest sports team. All they care about is arguing about who's the best basketball player and football player. They're arguing and fighting over foolishness. They're contending over something that will not help their parents get back together. They're arguing and contending for something that will not break the addictions on their loved ones. They're arguing and fighting over something that will not break the depression. This is a call, young person, to come out from the ideas of the world, to contend for things that don't matter, to come under the shadow of the kingdom of God and fight for something that when nothing else works, it will. When nothing else will break the chains of anxiety and depression, it's the truth. I didn't come with a complicated message. You can ask my wife. I've been wrestling and wrestling over preaching this. I didn't come with some newfound revelation. I've just come with a burden in the spirit to call young people out from the mess of the world and into a fight that matters. Young person, that's the altar call. Will you be quiet enough to listen to the voice of the Spirit tugging on your heart today to contend for the faith? This world is losing its mind. It's cracking and it's stress fracturing over all the mess that's going on in society. But gathered tonight at Mid-America Conference are young people that if they make up their mind to contend for the truth can turn the world upside down. If you contend for the truth, you can go out into your job, go out into your school, and you can find that person that's struggling with addiction. And you can tell them about Jesus that can break every chain in their life. But you've got to make up your mind, young person. Will you spend the rest of your time contending over things that have no weight and no value? Or will you come to this altar tonight and you say, God, when I get up from this altar, I want there to be a burden on the inside of me to contend for this faith like I've never contended for it before. Young person, that's the altar call. I'm done. God is looking for a Timothy in this generation that'll say, Paul, I'll keep fighting the good fight of faith. Paul, I'll keep on marching forward with the gospel. Paul, I won't waver to the left or to the right, but I'm going to keep on contending. I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on standing for this truth. Come on, young person, these altars are open right now. You ought to make your way and say, God, let there be a desire in me to contend for the faith like I've never contended for it before. Come on. Come on. Can you hear the call today? Can you hear the call to contend for what matters? Can you hear the call? Come on, come on, come on. There needs to be a spirit of Naboth that rises in every young person that says the inheritance of my father is not for sale. I'm never gonna give up. I'm never gonna sell out. I'm never gonna throw in the towel. Come on, come on, come on. There needs to be a cry and a roar from every young person that says, hell, I've had enough, but I'm gonna contend. I'm gonna fight. Oh yeah, come on. Come on. You hear that, devil? You hear that, devil? There are some young people tonight that are making up their mind to fight. They're making up their mind to contend. They're making up their mind to continue the faith. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Let there be a cry. Thank you.